Okay, so we all know what's coming up this weekend. We have an event that's very much looked forward to, but maybe also a little bit dreaded, especially by people that are trying to lose weight. It's a three-day under this week. Shabbos, of course. All right, it's a two-day under, right? Okay. Well, there's plenty of time to take a nap over the weekend. Okay, so Shabbos, of course, is Shabbos, and then Sunday and Monday is the Yom Tov Shavuos. So the question I want to explore a little bit is, why are there 2 days on the Yom Tov Shavuos? Why Sunday and Monday? Why isn't Sunday enough? Now, the simple answer would be, of course, everybody knows, because Sveikei D'Yomo, right? We're accustomed to that. We live in Chutz La'aretz, all of our Yom Tov, and Sveikei D'Yomo. 2 days Pesach, 2 days Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, last days of Pesach, so 2 days of Shavuos also. But the truth is that there's a very big difference between Shavuos and all the other days, all the other Yom Tovim. The reason why there's 2 days Pesach, 2 days Sukkot is, we always call it Sveika de Yoyma. The idea was that there was a base in Yerushalayim that was Mekadesh the Chodesh, and till the word got out to all the Yidden that lived in the Goyla, it took some time. Pesach is on the 15th day of the month, so they had 2 weeks to reach Chutz La'aretz, and they didn't get everywhere in 2 weeks. So there were places where they didn't find out on time for Pesach what day they were Mekadesh HaChodesh, whether they were Mekadesh on the 30th or on the 31st. So the day that I think is the 15th, is it really the 15th, or is today still the 14th, and tomorrow is the 15th? So because of that, they needed to make 2 days of Yom Tov for Pesach, for Sukkot, for Shemini Atzeres. And that's the deepest into the month that we get is Shemini Atzeres. It's supposed to be the 21st of the month. Right? It is supposed to be, the 22nd, rather. Sorry, 22nd of the month. So by the 22nd of the month, Lav Dafka, the Shluchim reached all the places that they needed to go. So there's a Sveikei D'Yomo. Shavuos, though, although it's earlier in the month than there's other Yom Tovim, it's the 6th of the month, but it's the 6th of the month of Sivan. But it really has nothing to do with the month of Sivan. The kviyas of Shavuos is not totally on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Pa'amim Behei, Pa'amim Bevav, Pa'amim Bezayin. That sometimes Shavuos fell on the 5th of Sivan, sometimes on the 6th of Sivan, sometimes on the 7th of Sivan, because it only had to do with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What day were they in Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then 16 days later is the first day of the Omer, and then 50 days later is Shavuos. Regardless of where it falls out on the calendar, it's 50 days after the beginning of the Omer, which means the only Rosh Chodesh that we need to know about in order to know when is Shavuos is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shavuos comes 9.5 weeks after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There was nowhere in the world that Yidden lived. I mean, there was no Yidden in America, right? There was nowhere in the world that Yidden lived that the Shluchim from Yerushalayim didn't reach, starting from Nisan before the Yom Tov Shavuos. So by the time Shavuos came along, everybody knew when they were Mekadesh Nisan, and they never really had a suffix.
Because they couldn't put it back. If they were the wrong day, they could have corrected to the right day by then.
Right, meaning, what do you mean wrong day? Until the shluchim came, they were operating with a suffix, and then when the shluchim come, then they'll know which day was the correct day. Right. You mean their svira may have started with a suffix. Right, but by the time they get to the end of the svira, they'll already know what was the correct date to start, and then they should know what day is.
Change the number they counted?
Ah, so how that would affect your... So anyway, that's a good shayla. Okay.
They didn't really start the clock from Rosh Chodesh Nisan because no one's traveling because they're all Elul Regel, but once they're in Eretz Yisrael, they're staying there. So maybe after Pesach, you could start counting when they're going to go chase after people.
That's a good question.
No.
That can't be. You're asking how can we send Shluchim out of Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the month? Don't they have a mitzvah to be there for Yom Tov? That's a good question. But the fact is they did. We know that they sent Shluchim to Babel to tell the Yidden when the Yidden in Babel relied on the Shluchim coming. So those, I don't know, maybe the Shluchim were Goyim. I don't know. Maybe they were Nashim, departed from Aliyah
L'Regel. In that case, we don't need Kiddush HaChodesh for Sivan either, because we know exactly when it is.
No. No, the month of Sivan was Chodesh Sivan. Good Chodesh today, right? Today's was Chodesh Sivan.
Right. We know from the counting. We know.
No, the Sfirah doesn't tell you when Chodesh Sivan is. We know that today is the 45th day of the Omer. But sometimes the 45th day of the Yom Erev will fall out on the day before Rosh Chodesh Sivan.
Once you know when Nisan is, then you know exactly when the year and Sivan are.
Not at all, no. Nisan might have 29 days. The way we have the calendar set up,
so
Nisan always has 30 days and Iyar has 29.
Okay.
But theoretically, Nisan could have had 29, Iyar could have 29, could have 30.
But we established Iyar, so we know when Iyar is. So now we know when Sivan is. Once you've established when Iyar was,
you don't know when Sivan is.
Then you know when Sivan is.
Why? Iyar might have 29 days, might have 30.
So we know when year is.
No, you don't.
Once we've established when year, you mean the end of it?
Right.
Maybe the shluchim can put Pesach Sheni. Was that not considered?
Maybe no, but what about Aliyah LeRegel? No, it's still a good question. We got Aliyah LeRegel. We send them away. That's the thing I want to talk about. It's a fascinating. All right, I never thought of this before. That the shluchim are sent away from Yerushalayim. And they're traveling for 2 weeks, so they wind up in Bavel, but they live in Eretz Yisrael, so we're sending them away from the Mitzvah of the Regal. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about. But Al-Kapanim...
After report back to
Ben Al-Kapanim, yeah, okay. Lugavi Shavuos, Lemaisa on Shavuos is coming 9.5 weeks after the relevant Kiddush HaChodesh, which means that the Yidden, back in the day when they were Mekadesh Al-Pi HaRi'iyah, they never had a Safek. Nowadays, we don't really have a Safek altogether. We call it Seika D'Yom. It's really a misnomer. Really, the reason why we keep 2 days of Yontif nowadays, all the Yom Tovim, is because of what the Gemara and Beitz calls Minig Avaseinu B'Yadeinu. That we live in places that in the olden days they kept 2 days, so nowadays we still continue to keep 2 days because of the Minig. But again, on Shavuos, why did they ever keep 2 days? They never had a Safek. So where did the 2 days of Shavuos come from? It's its own unique mystery, the Shavuos 2 days. So the Chassam Sofer talks about this. There's a couple of tshuvas where the Chassam Sofer talks about it. And I'm going to touch a little bit about what the first tshuva was about and a little bit more in detail what the second tshuva was about. But in particular, there's an interesting discrepancy between what he says about this nekuda in the two tshuvas. He wrote, there's one that you find in Yerideya, in his Shas Tshuvas, Yerideya, Simen Resh Nun. The Chassam Sofer was talking over there about a mila shalei bizmana. Very interesting shaila. What's the din of a mila shalei bizmana on Yontif Sheni Shel Galuyos? It's a hard shaila. Right, what's some of the background that make the shaila relevant?
To do it or not to do it.
Exactly, right. We know that mila, even though mila is a malacha, right, but the Torah says that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Mila is doicha Shabbos. So if a baby is born on a Shabbos, 8 days later, right, the eighth day of his life is again a Shabbos, we do the mila on Shabbos. On the other hand, we also know that a milah is only deicha Shabbos if it's bizmana. An 8-day-old baby, we do the milah on Shabbos. But if it's milah shaloi bizmana, the baby wasn't well, and then they had to push off the milah, and now the baby is 10 days old or 2 weeks old, and they're doing a milah, or an adult, right? Somebody who's getting a milah as an adult. We don't do that milah on Shabbos. We wait till, even if the person is ready on Shabbos, we wait till Sunday. Milah shaloi bizmana is not deicha Shabbos, and it's not deicha yantif. What about yantif sheni shel galuyos? Nivshen Shel Galuyos, there's a strong argument to say that since, you know, the nowadays that we're became Mikvia Diarcha, the whole Indian of Nivshen Shel Galuyos is only Mishum Minhag, and we have a mitzvah Deiraisa saying to do the Mila, even though it's Shalei Bezmana, but it's still pressing that you do it immediately. It's not voluntary. You can't just pick a date when it's good. You have to do it as soon as you're ready. So to push off the mila is being mevatel a mitzvah. Now, if it's Shabbos, it's Yontif, so it's not doicha. So of course you have to push it off. But if it's Yontif Sheni Shel Galuyos and it's only a minhag not to do malacha that day, again, you know, I say minhag, I don't mean a minhag like wearing a gartel. It's a minhag that it says in the Gemara. It's brought down in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. It's a halacha, but it's a halacha which is described in the Gemara as a minhag. So does that push off the mila? So it's a big machleikus. We shein in machleikus apayskim. Lemaisa, the Machaber says we don't do such a mila. The Machaber is basing himself on a rush. The Rambam argues, he says you do the mila. The Shach argues with the Machaber based on the Rambam, and he says that you do the mila. And they ask Chassam Sofer, what do you say about this? What we have this Shaila coming up, or we just had it. What do you say? What should we do? And the Chassam Sofer, he paskins like the Machaber, that you don't, it's not daichi, you don't do it. We're not going into the mila part of the discussion, but just one very interesting detail over there. He says, even though the shach says that it's daicha, and ordinarily in a Yoni Yerideya, the shach is the Peitzik Achrein. We don't argue with the shach. But over here, he says, there's a tshuva from the Tashbates. Tashbates was in the 1300s, 1400s, when the Gedalia Paiskim. And this opinion of the Rambam that the Shach is endorsing, that that you do the Mila on Yantav Sheni, the Tashbates asks some very strong kashas on the Rambam, and he sides with the Rosh. He argues against him. But the Shach didn't have a Tashbates. So he never saw these kashas. Zoktachsam Seifer, a rule, that when you have a Paisek who, we always follow that Paisek, but then you come across a resource, a piece of data that he didn't have, then all bets are off. Then you're allowed to reopen the investigation. So ordinarily we wouldn't argue with the Shach, but over here the Shach didn't have the Tashbates, and I find the Tashbates as arguments to be very compelling. So therefore he says, what?
Good
question. I don't know. How did the Sam Sefer know the Shach didn't have a Tashbates? I'm not sure. But he, based on that, he says that he's going to argue with the Shach, and he says that we don't do that meal. But now, the part of the tshuva that's negela in Yaneinu is that he had a shaila about a milah shel bizman on Yantav Sheni Shel Galus. The particular Yantav Sheni Shel Galus that it was Shavuos. So in the course of his discussion, the Chassam Sefer is ma'ir this kasha. Why is there Yantav Sheni Shel Shavuos altogether? There's no suffix when it comes to Yantav Sheni Shel Shavuos because it's not totally on.
Just make sure it's continuing.
Okay, it's not totally on.
He always wanted to keep it off, Danny.
No, it was off.
Mine is not.
Is it still going?
I don't know.
Yeah. See, okay, mine is still going. I have it on airplane mode anyway.
Oh, that's what
I should have
done.
Okay, fine. I'll lose mine. Yeah, where were we? Yeah, so the Chassam Sefer is ma'ir this kasha. Why is there a second day Yantif? And he says that the only thing he could think of is that it must be a light plug. The Chazal didn't want to differentiate between the different Yom Tovim. If, it's a set, the Shalish Regalim, and if some of them have 2 days Yom Tov, and some of them don't have 2 days Yom Tov, so who knows? People might start, to be mezalzel in the 2 days Yom Tov of Pesach and Sukkot because they say, well, we don't keep 2 days Yom Tov on Shavuos. So in order that you shouldn't come to be mezalzel in one because of the other, so they said, let's just do it across the board. It's a light plug. Right.
That argument only apply now that it's a minhag.
I think he means to say that it was in the times that they were Makadosh Shapiria, also in the faraway places, in other words, where they didn't know what day was Pesach and Sukkot, they also kept 2 days of Shavuos, even though they knew what day was Shavuos, but because of a light plug.
Is that what the Tashbit says?
No. This is the Chassam Sefer. This is the Chassam Sefer.
What does the Tashbit say?
No, the Tashbit is talking about the Mila.
What about?
So he says that the Midrash Lev Zman is not Doicha Yantav Sheni Shel Galus. So then with that, I just mentioned that Agavurcha, we're coming back now to the Shavuos part of the discussion. So the Chassam Sefer says that it must be because of a light plug. But then he says something very interesting. This kasha, this teretz, is not so glamorous. I mean, the kasha is a very geshmak. A kasha, the teretz is, Mishum light plug, okay. But then he has the following line. He says, "V'chidush be'enai shalei re'isi mishenis oir lezeh." He says, "I can't believe I'm the first person that thought of this. It's such a good kasha. Why is there a second day Shavuos? The standard reason for the 2 days Yantav doesn't apply to Shavuos. Why is there a second day Shavuos? And why am I the only one that thought of this? The only one that was bothered by this kasha?" That's how he ends off that paragraph. Again, it's just a part of his longer discussion about Mila. Oh, but that, there's a lot of discussion about. The Yantav Sheni of Yom Kippur, and Sheni of Yom Kippur, the Beis Yosef talks about that. There is discussion about that. But when it comes to, and over there, of course, the standard practice is that we don't keep 2 days. But when it comes to Shavuos, where the standard practice is that we do, and the kash is, but why do we need to? So the Chassam Sefer says that I haven't found any midlay or isi mishnas error like that. This tshuva was written in Tavkuf Pei Vav, that's 1826. Yeah. Now there's another tshuva in the Chassam Sefer. This one is found in Aruch Chaim Kuf Mem Hei. And this tshuva was written 5 years later, in 1831. And over here, again, he talks about this ha'ara of his about Shavuos, and he has something a little bit different to say about it. Well, let's put that on hold. First, what's the Mekuf Memhei about? Also a fascinating Shavuos, a very tragic story, but it's a fascinating story. The Chassam Sofer received this Shaila from the city of Brody, where the Marad Asr is Rav Shlomo Kluger, and he was receiving the Shaila after it had already been Paskin by Rav Shlomo Kluger, but then he was looking to the Chassam Sofer for reinforcements. What happened was, there was a Shchiv Merab. There was somebody who Nebuch was very sick. He was on his deathbed. The doctor said, you know, he's dying. He only has, minutes left. He could die at any moment. So, okay, what's your last wish? I want to give my wife a get. Now, this is, if you think about it, this might sound nasty. No, this is actually a very, very kind, loving last wish. He was dying without children, and he had a brother, and his brother lived in Rome, 1,200 miles away from Brod where is that? That's in Galicia. It even says, right, so right, you need to be there to do chalitza. It says over there, it's written in the Shaila, that it was a very poor family. Like, there's no way that she was going to be able to travel to Rome. She was going to be left Nebuch and Aguna. But only if she's married to him when he dies. If he dies and she's married to him, she's his almana, then she's nefelis liibam. If he gives her a get a minute before he dies, then they're not married anymore at the time that he dies. What?
Until
she gets well, she'd be shemeris. She'd be a shemeris yavam. She'd be a kugel yavam. But if the yavam is 1,200 miles away and she has no way of getting there, she can't remarry. So yeah, then she would be an aguna. But if he gives her a get, then when he dies, she's not his wife anymore. So she doesn't fall to yavam. So he said,
Can't give a get?
Oh, so just give a get. The problem was that it was Shavuos. And yet, giving a get requires ksiva. It's a malacha d'oraisa, right? Because of all the increases, you can't give a get without being kosev the get.
Where did this happen? In Eretz
Yisrael? Galitzi, in Brod.
So there were 2 days of Shavuos.
Right.
So which day?
It was the second day. It was the second day, right? That's why it's going to. It comes into this discussion.
He acted with Pliny and accused him of being a Saita. And this way.
What? No, I think that there is such a trick. It works with something else, but I don't think it works with pottering from Yibam.
He always has these devious plans.
Oh, you mean Saita that right? There is a daya in the Gemara that she's not in the fellows of the Yibam, and there's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch whether we pass them like that. Yeah, there's an Isser in doing that. There's an Isser in doing that.
Right.
There's an Isser of
Yichud.
What? I mean, of Yichud.
No, an Isser of Yichud. It's not exciting.
No, but you need the Yichud in order for that to happen.
There's
no way to do that, the Hatter.
Okay.
So that solution they didn't suggest, but there was a Rav in Brod that suggested that we write the get. It's of course on Shabbos we couldn't do it. You know, we say Nebuch, you know, it's very sad, but he's going to die, but we can't write a get on Shabbos. Yontif, if it's a real Yontif, you can't do it. Fine, but this is Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni Shlagalias. So this Rav, he made the following argument. He said that although Chazal say that, generally speaking, whatever is Asar on Yantav Rishon is also Asar on Yantav Sheni, even though it's only Mishum Safek, Mishum Minag, whatever is Asar on Yantav Rishon is also Asar on Yantav Sheni, but it's not mamish everything. There are a couple of exceptions. The two exceptions are as follows. Sarchi Hameis and Sarchi HaChayla. Sarchi Hameis means that we're allowed to bury a mace on Yantav Sheni. Yantav Rishon, the Halach is that you bury Ayidei Akum. Yantav Sheni, you bury a few Ayidei Yisrael. That Yidden are allowed to do malacha, real malachas on Yantav Sheni to bury a mace. This is, it's a Gemara in Beitza, on Davav, and it's brought down. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, passing like that. There's really, it's halacha, almost, I would say, halacha l'maisa. In some communities, it's halacha l'maisa. But I would say almost halacha l'maisa because in practice nowadays in America, there's a very, very influential tshuva in the Igros Moshe, where Moshe Feinstein said not to do this nowadays. And
in Israel they do it, though.
Yes, in Israel they do. Yeah.
He grew up from Williamsburg to Muncie.
Oh, Williamsburg to Muncie. So it sounds like you're talking Hasidic circles. In Hasidic circles, they absolutely do.
No, they
in Hasidic circles, they absolutely do. But
I'm sorry.
And the first day of
Yom Tov, it would only be Motu Aliyah Day Akum.
So and on a Shabbos.
Not at all.
So what about Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov?
Yeah,
that's
a good question. This true the Igros Moshe again is a little bit off topic, but yes, yeah. In practice, Lamaisa Chassidim do it. But this true with the Igros Moshe is because of two considerations. He says, first of all, what changed? How does the Moshe come and just change the halacha? So he says two things changed. One is that why would Chazal matter this? And they're not matter anything on Yom Tov Sheni, right? Whatever does on Yom Tov Rishon does on Yom Tov Sheni. But they made an exception to bury a mace. Why? Because otherwise the mace is going to decompose. And right, I mean, the longer it sits out, the worse it becomes, and that's a very terrible zilzal in the kavod mace. So there's a big mitzvah to try to get the mace buried as fast as possible. But nowadays, he says, if somebody dies, he's in a freezer. And could keep the body fresh, no problem, until after Yom Tov. So the big tzerich, again, we're not going to change halacha just because the tzerich went away, but the mice of the tzerich went away. And on the other hand, there's a counter tzerich, and that is that he says in America, he's writing a thing in the 1950s, and he said in America in the 1950s, virtually every family that, even, a family of Shem Ritayra Mitzvahs has siblings, has cousins, has aunts and uncles that are not Shem Ritayra Mitzvahs. That are going to come to the Levaya, which means that people are going to be driving to the Levaya, and that's not mutter. Even though you're allowed to do malacha, you're allowed to do malacha to bury the mace, but you're not allowed to do malacha to come participate, just to show your kavod. So it isn't mutter for outsiders to. Mm-hmm. To
this Levaya, they said, I asked them where they were going to mace, said it was in Williamsburg. They drove by, I guess at Saul or wherever, drove by the shul where she used to happen. People came out on Malava.
The only vehicle was the vehicle that was actually carrying the mace. Nobody else came by car. Okay, so in a Kleisenberger family from Williamsburg, maybe it's likely that you'll have that. But among Moshe Feinstein's constituency in the 1950s, virtually every family was a mixed family. In that, so Moshe said that if we do the Levaya, people are for sure going to be doing Malacha, being Machal Yom Tov. So, that's the reason not to. Now, the reason yes to, Chazal said, because of the Kavod HaMeis, but that we don't really have to worry about nowadays. So that's why he said that nowadays we shouldn't. And it was really one of the most influential tshuvas in the Igros Moshe in terms of really changing a practice. Until that time, everybody was knowing you made a Levaya Yom Tov Sheni. Nowadays, again, Hasidic circles, they still do. Outside of Hasidic circles, I think they don't. Although, I don't know, I think it might be starting to change a little bit back the other way. But... But be that as it may, the Ikir Hadin, again,
right?
What?
Not Rosh Hashanah, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's not a two-day holiday.
Yeah, the Gemara talks about it, I just don't remember. If I'm not mistaken, there's two halachas in which Yom Tov Sheni is different than Yom Tov Rishon. One is, like we'll be talking about Tzarchei HaMeis, the other is Tzarchei HaChoyle, meaning to take refuah, ordinarily, take refuah, Shabbos, Yom Tov Shechichas HaMamonim, Yom Tov Sheni, it's allowed. And your question about Rosh Hashanah, if I'm not mistaken, is a chiluk, is the nafkamina between these two. One of them is done even on Rosh Hashanah, and one of them is not. Al Kopanim, this Rabin Brod said like this, Tzarchei HaMeis, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. Now, here this person is going to die. And then, what's going to happen to him? It says in the Zohar that when a Yavam dies, and his wife is what we call Shemeres Yavam, right? Meaning a person dies, and his wife is then waiting for the Yavam. He's got to do Yavam, he's got to do Chalitza. Once he does that, so we know in this world, in Halacha, Once he does the chalitza, the isha is then muteris. The zika, the connection between her and the mace goes off, and then she's free to marry somebody else. What does it mean in the Olam HaNeshama? So in the Zohar it says that the neshama is connected to that wife, and whatever this means exactly, has no rest. It isn't free, isn't able to go where it needs to go until she gets her chalitza. So if he dies now, and we don't write the get, and his wife is going to be zekukali yibam for who knows how long, so this neshama is going to have no rest, because his wife is going to be zekukali yibam, he's not going to be able to get the chalitza. So it's a tzerich hamais to get them divorced, so that his neshama will then be free to go to the Olam HaEmes and won't be encumbered by this zika to the Avam.
You also say it's the chola, because it would make him, help him and survive. He can push himself to stay.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Let it be a tzerich chola also. I hear.
Push himself to stay
along.
So
I don't understand the whole case. He's a
Shchiv
Mara, and yet he's able to think, I want to write a get to my
Why not? Why not?
Shchiv Mara. Sounds like he's imperfect,
He's
not well.
Yeah, he's
he'll die tomorrow.
He won't
die today. He can speak like
maybe. Yeah, maybe he'll die tomorrow. Maybe he'll die today. So he just wanted to take a precaution.
That's why. Somebody has a gun to his head. Is he considered a Shchiv Mara? Somebody's what?
Legabi what? It isn't any halacha of Shchiv Mara, which is just...
No, could he...
I think that would have made the same shayla.
He's allowed to do whatever the guy says, not to die. Guy says, write this paper, he's not
right. No, his case is the guy is not offering him anything. The guy's just about to kill him. And he says, wait, let me write a get first.
Yeah, wow.
So the Rav said he could.
So there was this Rav that said, Tzerichei Hameis are mutter. The Zohar makes this into a Tzerichei Hameis. We could write a get on Shavuos. Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was the Marad Astra, he said, absolutely not, nothing doing, you're not allowed. And he answered it, and they didn't write the get. And then after Yontif, he was taking some flack for, how could you be so heartless? That, and there was a basis to be matir. This other Talmid Chacham was being matir. So he sent to the Chassam Sofer to know, did I do right? Did I do wrong? So the Chassam Sofer, this is an Erechaim Kuf Mem Hei, the Chassam Sofer writes back that he thinks what you did was absolutely right. And he says two arguments against the Heter that this Pesach had made. The first one, which is a very relevant general yediyah, fascinating what he says. He says that you made this into a tzerich hameis based on a zohar. We don't pass in halachas based like that. What it says in the zohar, Avad Chassam Sofer learned the zohar. He held of it. He wasn't putting down Sisrei Torah, but he was saying that it doesn't come into halachic discussions. He says that about midrashim, and if I'm not mistaken, he says v'kol shekein the zohar, which is Sisrei Torah. He says shailas and halacha we pass him just based on the Torah Sanigla. The Teres HaNistar, you're Isaac in to understand better what your mitzvahs poil and the Olam Yisrael Yoinim, very good. But we don't pass in Shailas like that. That's the first argument. Then he says, to the Etzem Lomdus, he says, if this Pesach was right, that we could write this get because it's Tzerech HaMeis. So he says, how about the following scenario? You have a Yid who's on his deathbed. Forget it, no Yibam Shilas. He has it on his deathbed, and he's nervous. He's about to go into the next world. And, like the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, on his deathbed, he says, Shnei Drachim Lefana, I don't know which way I'm going. So Allah is Kama B'chama, every Yid is supposed to have that fear. So he says, I feel like I want to do something now before I go to the next world, to be Marav Zechuyos. I'm ready to give $1 million to set up a Hachnas Kala fund. I want to make, right, he feels like he's about to leave this world. He wants to give $1 million to set up a fund of Hachnasas Kala. Now, he could say so, but then, his children, after he dies, could ignore him. He wants to put it into writing. So, and he feels that's his ticket to Olam Haba. So let's write that on Yom Tov also, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. Could we go write such a contract? He says, if this Pesach was right and you were allowed to write the get, I think it would be a kol shekin that you'd be allowed to write this. Tzarechei HaMeizes, Tikkut Olam Haba. But he said, V'chash V'shalom Loimer came. He says, nobody should make the mistake of thinking that I mean to be matter that. I'm bringing this in to show how you can't use this lamdas. Because chas v'shalom loimer kein. So why is it wrong? What's taka the counter argument? He says because tzarchei ha-meis, clearly it means tzarchei ha-guf of the meis. It doesn't mean tzarchei neshama. Not because anyone's saying that tzarchei ha-guf are more important than tzarchei neshama, but Chazal made this halach of tzarchei ha-meis regarding the tzarchei ha-guf.
Especially if the basis is because the guf is going to disintegrate.
Okay, I mean that's
a guf itself.
Right, definitely, most specifically, right?
Specifically about the guf.
And the Chasam Sofer says that we have a model for this in more clearly established halachas, that on Yontif, you know, Emein Shabbos on Yontif, like you mentioned before, Ela Oichel Nefesh Bovad. On Yontif, you're allowed to do Melechas Oichel Nefesh, which means if I'm hungry, I could cook, I could shecht, right? I could cook, I could make a barbecue, I could whatever I want, for make a fire, because I'm hungry. Now, what about if I was Machal Shabbos last week, before Yontif, I was Machal Shabbos, and now I need a Korban Chatas, which means to cook food on the Mizbeach. It's the same exact malacha. For my stomach, we're matirat, but Kaviyachol, for the Mizbeach, we're not matirat, even though that's also for me. I need that Korban Chatas more than I need this lunch. I already had lunch. I'm having a snack in the afternoon. I need that Korban Chatas much more than I need this snack. But that's aser. So clearly, because tzarchei ha-guf are tzarchei yantif, tzarchei neshama are not tzarchei yantif. So when we talk about yantif sheni and tzarchei ha-meis being tzarchei yantif sheni, it means dafka tzarchei ha-guf and not tzarchei ha-meis. Tzarchei ha-guf and not tzarchei neshama. And therefore, he said he asked it. Now, that's the overall gist of the tshuva. But then in the final paragraph, he comes to the fact that this was Shavuos. That this yantif sheni that it happened was the yantif sheni of Shavuos. And he says, maybe one will want to say, I didn't have the impression that the Rabbanim and Brod were ma'ir this, that maybe the Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos should be different. The Chasam Sofer is ma'ir. Maybe one will want to say that the Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos should make it different because, after all, there's no real suffix when it comes to the Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos, right? His old Ta'ara. And he says, but no, because, like I answered before, it's really a light plug. And it's the Maisa, we have the same Chaimra on Yantiv Sheni. But then he's Mefalpel. Maybe because it's only a late plug. We keep 2 days, but maybe because it's only a late plug, that's to make it a little more kal. And maybe even things that I wouldn't be matter the other Yantiv Shenis, maybe there's a basis to be matter Yantiv Sheni of Shavuos. Zok Techsam Sefer, a little bit of a surprising twist. He said, I think Adarab of Ipcha Mestavra. The fact that it's Mishum Loy Plug doesn't make it more kal, it makes it more chomer. Because all the other ones, there's an element of suffolk. When they kept 2 days of Pesach, it was either today is Kodesh or maybe tomorrow is Kodesh, but not both. When it comes to Shavuos, the 2 days are not because of a suffolk. They never had a suffolk, but they kept 2 days anyway. So he says, in that way, it's a little bit more doyma to Rosh Hashanah, where it was the Yom Arichta, so because there's no suffix, so it's like 2 days mitam vaday, not mitam suffix. So if anything, rather than be more makel, I'd be more machmir. There's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, where he has a ha'ara on this thought of the Chasam Sofer. Again, I'm calling it a thought, meaning he doesn't use it for anything. He's not. He was going to aser any yantiv sheni, but he's just saying that if anything, Shavuos is more chamer. But Rav Moshe has a Geshmaka Ha'ara, that which Yantiv Sheni usually there's an element of suffolk, there's ramifications halacha lamaisa from that. There's, just very briefly, when you have a 3-day Yantiv, not the way that we have it this week, but the opposite way, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So then you have an Erev Tavshilin situation, right? It's Yantiv before Shabbos, so you have an Erev Tavshilin. You can't make so you're supposed to make that Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. If someone forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, there's a fascinating halacha, not so well known, but there's a gay halacha lemaisas, you know, these things happen. A person forgets to make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. The halacha is, he can make it on Thursday. Thursday, the first day Yom Tov. And he makes it with a Tanai. That if today is Yom Tov, Well, if today's Yontif, then I'm too late, right? You're supposed to make it on Erev Yontif, I'm too late. But it's okay. Because if today's Yontif, then tomorrow is Chayil. Tomorrow, Friday, is Chayil. And I could cook on Friday for Shabbos without an Erev Tefshilin. If tomorrow is Kodesh, and then I can't cook without an Erev Tefshilin, so I need an Erev Tefshilin. Oh, but if tomorrow is Kodesh, today is Chayil. So then I'm not too late. It's Erev Yontif. So you can make your Erev Tefshilin with it tonight. Now, that Tanai, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you make, you know, that when you can make that whenever you have 2 days of Yontif before Shabbos. If the Chassam Sofer was right, that Shavuos is not a suffix, Shavuos is 2 days mitam vadai, then the Tanai wouldn't work on Shavuos. Right? We don't find anyone anywhere that makes such a chiluk avada. The halach is clear that this Tanai works all the Shalish Regalim. So that means that we don't say like this Chassam Sofer, that again, this thought of the Chassam Sofer that maybe it's more chomer. Again, we're not going to say the other way either, that maybe it's more kal, but al-kapanim, this shlugs up this idea that maybe it's more chomer. But al-kapanim, the Chassam Sofer's bottom line is that we can't be matir anything special for Yontif Sheni Shogaldius of Shavuos. And he refers to that ha'ara that he had 5 years earlier, that the Yontif Sheni Shogaldius doesn't have a real suffix, but it's usher anyway mishum lo plug. But now here we come to the discrepancy. Whereas 5 years earlier, he had said that Chiddush Be'enai Shalei Matzasi Mishnas Eir Lezeh. I can't believe that I'm the only one that thought of this. By Tafkuf Tzadi Aleph, 1831, he already had found somebody else that had the Ha'ara, that had his Kasha and his Teretz, and it wasn't Stam he found somebody, it was the Rambam. He found that this Ha'ara of his is Mefurishna Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas, I think in Perek Tazayin, of Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, of course. The Rambam over there is talking about the halacha, which the Gemara already talks about, that there was a little bit of a difference between the Goyla for Pesach and the Goyla for Sukkot. Meaning, how far did the Shluchim get? Which zone was too far for the Shluchim to reach? It varied between Pesach and between Sukkot, because Pesach is the 15th day of the month. So let's say you have 14 days, and those 14 days, 2 days are Shabbos, so you have 12 traveling days. In Tishrei, those 12 traveling days included a Yom Kippur and included a Rosh Hashanah, okay, depending on when Shabbos fell out, you know, maybe not, but al-Kapanim, you had one or two fewer days of traveling in Tishrei than you did in Nisan. So there were places that the Shluchim arrived in Nisan where they didn't arrive in Tishrei. And the halacha is that those places would keep 2 days, even if they already knew when Pesach was, but if they were in a zone that they needed to keep two days of Sukkot, they also kept 2 days of Pesach, Mishum Loi, and that is the Gemara, that's Mishum Loi Plug. And when the Rambam brings down that halacha, he adds three words, and he says, V'chein b'yomtiv shel atzeres. He says that there's a loy plug from Sukkot to Pesach. And then he says, V'chein b'yomtiv shel atzeres, meaning Shavuos. What does he mean by that, V'chein b'yomtiv shel atzeres? Zok Nechsam Sefer, he means this whole Shekel Torah. He means to be ma'irer, that why are there ever 2 days yomtiv by Shavuos? Shavuos is always already the place that the Shluchim were Magia. Ah, but just like we find that the place that the Shluchim were Magia for Pesach, but they were Magia for Sukkot. So they kept 2 days even on Pesach. So too on Shavuos, the place that the Shluchim were Magia Shavuos, which was everywhere, but they weren't Magia Pesach and Sukkot, they also had to keep 2 days. So this Ha'ara, that they never really had a Savik by Shavuos, but we keep 2 days anyway, Mishum Loi Plug, meaning not to differentiate from Sukkot and Shavuos, that's Merumas in these three words of the Rambam. So the Chassam Sofer initially had this as a Ha'ara that, you know, I'm surprised nobody else ever thought of it, and then after he said, actually, it's a Mefurish Rambam. So, you know, it's interesting. I saw somebody that, you know, asked like it's a kasha, it's a steer in the Chassam Sofer. In one place he says it's an original Ha'ara of his own, and another place he says that it's a Rambam. So that's a funny way to ask the question. It's a stira. I mean, then he didn't know about the Rambam, and then he did know about the Rambam. I mean, that's why I mentioned the dates. Right? He wrote one of them earlier, one of them later. So every piece of information you come across at some point. So he, at first he didn't know this, and then he later did know it. To call it a stira, I don't think is a strong way to put the question. But there is an interesting question, an interesting har over here, that when he was writing in 1826, the Chassam Sofer at that time was, I guess he was in his 60s. He was already, universally recognized as the Pesach Adar. He didn't know the Rambam. There was a Rambam that he forgot. That's a chiddush be'enai, that there was a Rambam that he forgot or had never noticed. No, it's in the regular Rambams. So that's the ha'ara. The how come in the first tshuva he didn't know this Rambam? So again, I don't mean that as a kasha, but it's something that's a little bit surprising, but I think there might also be a pshat to it. And that is that the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is a little bit of a different, you could almost call it a different sefer than the rest of the Rambam. You know, the Rambam is 14 volumes, it's what's called the Yad HaChazaka, the 14 volumes. Each volume is separated into multiple sections that deal with different areas of halacha. So within Sefer Zmanim, there's one section called Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, all of the other sections, virtually all of the other sections in all of the other halakim are basically halachis, and their makar is from the Talmud. I say the Talmud, meaning mostly Talmud, the vast majority is Talmud Bavli. There's some that's from the Talmud Yerushalmi, sometimes from the Sefra, the Sefri, the Mechilta, the Tesefta, but it's all Mamari Chazal. Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is almost like a whole different subject. It's there's some Gemaras in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that go into it, but most of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is geometry and astronomy. It's coming to explain Inyanim that Chazal talked about, but the actual material in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is not Divrei Chazal. It's really math. It's math and science. There are those that have been Ma'irer. Do you make a Birchas HaTorah on learning the Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh? I think Halacha L'maaseh, everyone would say, if I'm not mistaken, I think Reb Chaim Kanievsky talks about this shayla. He has a sefer on the Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. I think he talks about this shayla, but I can't quote him. I can't say that for sure. I think the answer is that once the Rambam included it in his sefer, so that makes it Torah. Even if you would have learned the same material, let's say 1,000 years ago, you would have, learned about the movement of the planets when it wasn't a Rambam, maybe in a Hanami, that would just be called learning astronomy. But now you're learning Rambam. But the Shaila is not a bad Shaila, because it really is a whole, it's a very, very different kind of a Sefer. I guess that might be totally on the same shaila as the Birchas HaTorah, and I would say no. If you're learning from the Rambam, probably not. But there's even a little bit of a. I have a very geshmak diuk in the Rambam. In the Rambam, in his Sefer Yad HaChazaka, there are three places where he tells you what year it is. When he was writing. The project took about 10 years, but that was, I guess, the research. The actual writing, like putting out the final draft, happened in 1176. When, obviously, that's not the calendar that he uses. He actually has three other calendars that he refers to. But just translating, it's 1176, Lemisparam, of the Common Era. In Hilchos Shemitah, so there are three places where he mentions what year it is now as he's writing. In Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, he writes that he's writing in the year 1176. In his Hakdama, he mentions that now as he's writing, it's the year 1177. And in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, it's the year 1178. Now, that the Hakdama has a later date than the Teichen of the Sefer, that's not at all surprising. I mean, most people that write a Sefer, they first write the Sefer, and then they write the Hakdama. But that Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh has a later date in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, that's strange. If we're the other way around, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is before Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. Shemitah V'Yovel is in Sefer Zeroyim. That's, I don't know off the top of my head, I think maybe the seventh Sefer. And Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is in Zmanim, which is the third Sefer in the 14 volumes. So if Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh would have an earlier date, that wouldn't be surprising. But it has a later date. What's the pshat? What do you make of that? What it seems to me is that he wrote the whole Sefer and he sort of put Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh on hold. And he didn't want to publish it till that was finished, but he sort of left it for the end because it was a different kind of Avodah than the rest of the Sefer. So I think that's probably the pshat and why, I think the Chassam Sefer, when he was in his 60s, he was not still discovering Rambams in Sefer Nashim and Sefer Kedusha, even in Kerbonis and in Avodah. in Mishpatim and Shavtim. I mean, he knew the Rambam backwards and forwards. He knew a cold. But maybe Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, he was just less Isaac in than the rest. And at a certain point, he was still being Isaac in it, and he was going through it again. And at a certain point, he came across this D again, and it was a Chiddush to him. Al-Kabanim, so the...
How's he write? He says, afterwards I found this Rambam?
No, he just refers to it as a Rambam. In the first place, he refers to it as his own Ha'ara. And in the other tshuva, in the one that he wrote later, he doesn't refer to the fact that I used to think it was mine and then I discovered it's a Rambam. He just says that he quotes it as a Rambam. He says that it's a Rambam. The Rambam is in Parak Gimel of Kiddush HaChodesh.
He's really, whatever, he was coming from the Rambam. When he was writing that,
He writes Chiddush Be'inai Shalei. It's not just that he doesn't source it. He says, I can't believe nobody ever thought of this. And then, if he would have found it afterwards, there's a tshuva sefer, right, that wouldn't be surprising. But to say nobody ever thought of it, then he says afterwards, it's a Rambam. It almost seems like embarrassing. That it's a Rambam? Why didn't you know that it was a Rambam? But I think based on this, we can understand it a little bit better.
It bothered him so much that he went and learned the Rambam again.
Okay. Now, I want to... Yeah, we're just going to end off.
Going back to the Shlomo Kluger
site. That's where we're headed, yes.
Whatever happened to the Shiv Maradi?
I don't believe it. That's Mom's where we're headed now. Ah, yes. So this is how I want to end off the Shir. I spoke about this, I said this Shir once on Shavuos a few years ago, and afterwards I found that people were very upset by the story. It's really a troubling story that the Nebuch, this poor woman, there was a rov there that was going to be matirit, but then Lamaisa they weren't matirit, and Nebuch, the poor woman, was stuck, and it really looks like a severe case of aguna. So I had seen this tshuva in the Chassam Sefer. He says that it wasn't his original shayla, it came from Broadway, it was Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, but I was reading it in the Chassam Sefer. There's a Yid, Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Mibnei Deirenu, he was Nifter, I think, around the year 1980, who had phenomenal bekiyas in everything. I mean, he was a very big guy in the Kal Tarakul, but he had phenomenal bekiyas in the Sifrei Achreinim, the Shailas HaTshuvas of the Achreinim. And in his Sefer HaMoed Mahalacha, he refers to this tshuva, HaMoed Mahalacha, you familiar with it? So he refers to this tshuva, and then he writes that he tracks down this Shaila to one of the Svarim of Rav Shlomo Kluger, where Rav Shlomo Kluger, you see the story being, there's the same story being written about. It's in the Sefer Shiva Einayim. It's not Rav Shlomo Kluger's own writing. It's written by the son of Rav Shlomo Kluger, where he talks specifically about certain controversies of, arguments that his father had with a certain other Paisek who lived in Brod. And you see this Shaila about the man who was dying on Shavuot is talked about in the Sefer Shavei Naim.
Did Shlomo Kluger write the letter to Chassam Sofer?
Yes.
Oh, so you're saying, but we don't have him himself writing about it. He wrote the letter to Chassam Sofer.
He wrote to the Chassam Sofer, right? And then in the Sefer Shavei Naim, we see his son writing about his right. But now, and he writes what this other Pesach said, he writes what his father said, and then he even brings down over there that he sent it to Presburg, and he brings down what the Chassam Sofer says. But what's so valuable over there, I went and I looked up in the Sefer Shiva Einayim, after the whole thing, called like Beshulei HaMichtav, he calls it, he adds another few lines. He says, whatever happened to the poor woman? So, I was so troubled by the sad ending of the story. So there's a chapter 2, which could have brought a happy ending. But unfortunately, there's also a chapter 3. Here's what it says. It says, Lamaisa, the Yid lived till after Yontef. He was able to write a get. The psak of the Rabbanim didn't do them in. Also that, we would have had a happy ending. It was after Yontef, he was prepared to write a get to his wife. Exactly. What happened? He said, I'm willing to write the get, but I want her to give me a guarantee that if I get better, she's going to come back. Meaning, we're a happily married couple. I'm just doing this as a favor for you. I want to be married. So, I'm doing this as a favor, so you shouldn't be zekuk l'yibum. If I die, you should have this get. But if I don't die, then we're making a chasana tomorrow, right? As soon as I feel better, we're making a chasana. And apparently, she was not as happily married as he was. Oh, and she said, nothing doing. She said, no, I'm not masking to. I want the get, and I just want the get, and that was a sticking point. And while they were arguing about that, he died.
Oh.
That's a horrible ending, but at least. You know, at least now, to a certain extent, it's a little bit less sympathetic because she's an aguna, but she kind of did it to herself. No, no, no.
If I don't die.
No, that's not what they did. That's not what they did. He wanted to give her a get, and he wanted her to give him a collateral. He wanted to give her to give him a collateral that would ensure that she was going to come back.
You can't make the get on us.
You could.
So that's a
you could.
Get out tonight.
Yeah.